Hey, everybody, did you know that Spotify is now making it easy for you to stream this podcast? Yeah, this one right here, and many others like it on your mobile device, desktop, or smart speaker? Well, yeah, it's true. Get on it. Finally, Spotify, your number one stop for music, is hosting podcasts. Just click on the browse button, click on the podcast section, and you will be entertained your whole live long day. You know how Spotify works. Now they got podcasts. Do it. Listen. Hey, everybody, the future is coming, and make it brighter with Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace makes it easy for you to turn your idea into a unique website. Let me tell you, I built two websites with Squarespace, and I know you've heard me say this a million times. This is not like breaking news, but I'm going to tell you that I talk about Squarespace all the time because I've used it. It's easy to use, and they have great support, like 24/7 support. I've had issues. They've helped me out, and I looked at my website. I hadn't looked at it in a couple of like months, and I looked at it the other day, and it looks like it's up to date. It's like it has a stylish design that doesn't ever make it look old. And even when you're not updating it all the time, it still feels like it's a living, breathing thing, which someone who created one of the most successful websites of all time told me that's the most important thing about the web. Yes, I have friends in the world of the internet. Who was it? It was Jeff Fahey from Lawnmower Man. Anyway, here's the deal. If you want to sell your products, you want to show off your shit, you want to advertise a restaurant you open, do it. It's easy to make your own website. Hold your place on the information superhighway. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Hey, everybody, remember this Lonely Island song? Because I'm a mother lover, you're a mother lover, we should fuck each other's mothers, fuck each other's moms. What if we made that into a dramatic film? That's right. We saw a door, so you know what that means. Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, because you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made? Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to another in-studio episode of How Did This Get Made? I am joined, as always, by Jason Mantzoukas.
Hey-o!
How are you, Jason?
Terrific. I just watched this very horny movie.
I'm very excited to talk about this movie, and I'll explain the whole backstory of how we even got here in a second.
Please do.
June is on assignment. She's deeply embedded somewhere in the world.
We can't say where. Doing
some sort of movie podcast. We cannot talk about it. We refuse to talk about it. But in her stead today, we have
a... Steed? I think you mean stead.
Steed.
Steed's more horny.
Yeah. In her stead, we have a two-time, returning How'd This Get Made all-star. You've listened to her on episodes like The Running Man and Spider-Man 3. She is a writer. She is a director. She's a podcaster. Her show Billion Dollar Properties is currently on iTunes. Watch it up. Please
Paul,
welcome.
Paul, it was Bajillion Dollar.
Oh. Shit.
Paul, you're in it.
I know. I'm sorry.
What did you say?
It's a billion.
Billion dollars.
Billion. Bajillion's comedy. Billion's real.
Oh, God.
Bajillion.
Is it bazillion?
Bajillion dollar properties. And you know what? This is when I go off, when I don't write down notes extensively. Bajillion dollar properties. Please welcome Kulap Vilaysack.
Ooh, you said my last name right.
Yeah. Very nervous about that. Kulap, welcome back to the show. So excited to have you here.
I'm so happy, and what an occasion for me to join with my two pals.
An auspicious occasion. Welcome back, Kulap.
I've never felt more that my voice needed to be heard.
Well, now, let's talk about the reason why we are here.
Okay.
So I got an email from our next guest, who I'm going to introduce in a second, saying, I want to do this movie. We should do this movie. And I quickly Googled this movie. And I was like, this doesn't seem like a movie that we would do because it feels like an award movie. A real movie.
A prestige.
Yes. So we'll get into it here. We have a big show today. We have five people in studio today. All right. So Our first guest is a person who brought this movie to my attention. He is the co-creator of Search Party. You can also check out his film Fort Tilden on the iTunes or wherever you can get your movies and stuff like that. Please welcome Charles Rogers.
Hello. Thank you for accommodating me. My boner is tucked into the waistband of my
This is your fault,
right,
Charles. This is all
this
your
This is marijuana's fault.
Yeah. And, how dare you?
And Charles said, well, I have to come. If I come on the show, I have to bring the person who introduced me to this movie.
That's right.
And our next... our next guest, I've seen him in Search Party, but he also has written and directed some amazing shorts like Call Your Father, The Disgustings, and actually has a brand new one, Men Don't Whisper, which is available right now. We'll get into all that, but on Vimeo?
Vimeo. Right, Charles Mann.
It's our movie.
It's our movie.
It's all right. I wanted to make sure I got a...
Yeah.
We're lovers with a short.
please welcome Jordan Firstman. So here we are... Here we are, guys.
So sorry. I just want to apologize.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
Well,
to you guys.
I was
yikes.
Like,
I want to say you're welcome.
Yeah. By the way, I would never have thought to even talk about this movie. I want you guys to, because this is very rare. We never let our guests pick a movie, but you guys did so.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
thank you.
You're like, welcome.
Walk us into.
But
this.
After this, we might have to like give people yeah. that option.
I feel like from. Yes. I heard some of the show, and usually the movies have a very, like, this is a bad movie
yes.
lens, and there's no, like, gay point of view. What makes gay people love bad movies?
Yes, I love it.
This
show hates gay people.
Yeah. Wait, is that why you guys are on?
Yeah, we want to talk about
so
a few
we're
things.
From
is this a, is this a, is this a gotcha? Oh, my God.
But it's true. This is like a prestige-y art movie.
Oh, yeah.
But it's actually a terrible movie
yeah.
that can trick. That's the thing that can trick people.
Yeah.
Is that it looks really good.
It's,
and there's
it's,
good actors.
Oh, it's
in
well
it.
Acted.
It's, like the
it's
best,
well, yeah.
The
great
best
actors.
Lifetime movie you've ever
yes.
seen, or the most taboo
the,
Lifetime
the most
movie.
The most expensive.
Yeah, the most expensive. The best shot.
So, how did, like, so Jordan, you introduced Charles to this. How did you find it?
I think I had seen the trailer.
Why did you do this?
I saw the trailer probably 24 times, and I was just like, I kept watching
on
it when
purpose?
It came out.
The trailer's really good.
I was like, I kept repeating, Robin Wright Penn and Naomi Watts fuck each other's sons.
Yeah.
I just kept saying that to myself. I was like, I need to see it. And then
that's the log line.
And then
and
I forgot.
The
yeah. And then I forgot about it. And then we were stoned and on Netflix, and I was like, we need to watch this. And then we did.
Well, so now I was like, well, I need to find a good guest to come in to talk about this. So I reached out to Cool Up, and I was like, hey, this is a, and it's a weird choice, but...
Yeah, he was couching it.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah.
Feel free to say no if you don't want to do it. And I present the movie to you, to which you reply...
Oh, I've already seen it with your wife.
Yeah, in Sundance. You saw this in the most prestigious setting.
It was June Scott and the director of Ass Backwards
watching it
at Sundance.
Wow.
Oh, my God. You were in the seats for the premiere or one of the premieres.
And
of
did people
film.
Like it?
I mean, I got to be honest with you guys. I liked it at the time.
Yeah.
I was glamored by it.
Yeah.
I said to you guys before in the lobby, I think it was the setting.
The altitude.
It is sexy.
Everything
seems
better at Sundance.
It's very Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
It's slow Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was glamored by those taut butts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and those ripped hunks.
Yeah.
Like,
hot
when they
butt.
Do...
They are hot.
This movie it might as well be called Time Jumps, because every couple of minutes, there's like a large time jump.
Yes.
Yeah.
The little girls become Robin Wright and Naomi Watts.
It spans 45 years.
Yes.
Yes. And
then
we figured out...
It really does.
That's amazing. And then their sons turn into, from little boys to like
men.
Shirtless hunks for the rest of the movie.
Well, I mean, it's a great transition. The little kids are surfing in the water and they come up hot.
Yes.
Yeah. Hot.
Yeah. And their moms literally are like, look at them. They're so hot. Our
yeah.
sons
yeah.
are
yeah.
so hot.
They
how
look
can
like,
we
yeah.
keep
they
our
look
hands
like,
off
yeah.
our sons?
Yeah. Gods.
They say that.
They're like gods.
Well,
here's disgusting.
This is the first, like, so when you kind of see them pop up as men now, the first time you see them, they're young boys. Now they pop up as men. Here's a kind of a little bit of how they're talking about their sons, right?
Children.
Out of the gate. Their children.
Lil, look at that. Did we do that?
Oh.
We must have done. We certainly did. They're beautiful. They're like young gods.
And there you go. That's
that is the pace that this movie is at always.
Yeah. Every line is under five. Every scene is under five lines. Yeah. There is no scene that is over five lines.
It makes every line mean so much and so much less at the same time.
And because we exist in a world in which this is a full 2-hour movie about these mothers and the sons that they fall in love with and start fucking, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it is about nothing else.
Nothing.
It's not about anything else in their lives, barely. It's not even about that.
I wish it was about fucking their sons.
It doesn't have a point. Point is that you want to fuck everyone, and you want to fuck yourself, and you want to be everyone else, and you want to fuck your own
family.
Here's
the thing, because I knew what this movie was about. I knew what this movie was about going into it, and then what I thought of as what must be the whole movie happened in the first 15 minutes.
Yes, it's already over.
I looked at the thing and I was like, whoa, how do I still have an hour and 45 minutes to go? What could possibly happen next?
Well, the answer, just talk about what
not
happened.
Much. Yeah. And at every act break or at every turn, I was like, well, again, this would be when it's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Ben Mendelsohn has a daughter? And I was like, what the fuck
I rewound
is going
it.
On?
When Ben Mendelsohn had a kid, I was like, wait, what, where did
when
this?
When Tom is like, Dad, I'm spending time with Dad's new family. I was like, when did Dad get a new family?
Yeah, yeah. In a time jump. Yes.
The time jumps are sneaky in this movie. They really need to clue you in because it moves so slow that maybe you just got it.
When they start fucking, honest question, how old are the boys?
18. They're supposed to be 18.
Okay. But by the way,
honest answer.
Yeah.
But by the way,
thank you, Charles.
I will say that there is something so bizarre when you first are introduced to these boys and their mothers. They're so flirty. Like, they're really, it's so
disgusting.
Like, it really made me uncomfortable. I'm like, am I a prude in the sense that I didn't have this relationship with my mom's friends? Or is this, like, so mind-blowingly wrong? Like,
basically, like, the four of them, like, Naomi Watson, Robin Pitt Wright, and their two sons just lived together their entire lives and have just always flirted in the sun.
They're on vacation every day. All they do is day drink and sit by the beach and surf.
It feels like a vacation house, but it seems like their real house.
Guys, Naomi Watts works at a yacht
office.
And Robin Wright works at
owns a gallery.
But I was shocked.
Where did they learn those trades? Because they grew up on that beach.
And what town is it that can support all of these businesses?
It's New South Wales.
New South Wales, is that big? Because they also have, there at one point, Tom is like trying to work as like in theater in that
town.
Okay,
by the way, that is the biggest buy of all.
I wanted to stay in that world for the rest of the movie.
That is the biggest buy, that Tom. Tom, who barely like has any inflection.
They don't speak. They do not speak.
That he is a promising
director.
Okay.
Theater director.
So when they're 18, they don't speak. They have no words. They're dumb boys.
Like,
then 2 years goes by, and they're the most like
erudite.
Like they have points of view. They're suddenly like really political. Yeah.
But then they're also like they can't as actors pull off those versions of those boys.
No.
But it's a weird movie because it's a very like it's very sexual. You know, obviously like all the sex scenes and stuff. And it's taboo, but I feel like they're also making it really taboo. Like, if they were to go out in public, it wouldn't be like, wait a second, your best friend's son. Like, it wouldn't be something that people could, like, always find out unless you had to be like, oh, actually, how did I meet him? I raised him. It's only taboo to them.
They're too open about it. There are never any secrets in this movie.
There are never any secrets.
Well, they never leave anywhere.
They never close any doors either.
And nobody ever, like, protests too much because that was another one where I was like, okay, now that this has started, Robin Wright sleeps with, First, Robin Wright sleeps with Naomi Watts' son, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And then Tom, Robin Wright's son, comes to Naomi Watts and says and wants to hook up with her. And she kind of pushes him away and is like, no, that's not right. And I was like, oh, this is going to be for her a harder hurdle to get over.
No.
She immediately fucks him.
He spends the night in her bed.
Yes.
And then they fuck in the morning.
Then they fuck in the morning. So,
like, why even do that?
And I was like, oh, at every turn, what I thought was going to be the next, like, 20 minutes of the movie was the one minute of the movie.
Yeah.
But here's
three lines.
It's the weird thing about it to me is, like, there's a part of me that's like, oh, are they going to get together, Robin Wright Penn and Naomi Watts?
That's what I assumed the
whole
time.
Well, they set it up in the very beginning. There's three scenes back to back where they're like, put on Lezos.
Yeah.
They're literally, they're like, he's like, are you Lezos?
He's like, Lezos.
And then cut to them together like, hey, thanks for Lezos.
We're not Lezos.
And then another scene is like, can you believe?
I can't believe it.
Why do I feel like?
They're so angry at Saul for thinking that. Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, Saul, it's so much like, you have no idea.
But they also, when Saul says it, they start cracking up. Oh, yeah. Like they haven't already had three scenes about this.
There's so much. And so
I felt so bad for Saul.
Naomi Watts' boss.
Oh, thank you.
Yacht building boss. Who drives around their house just whenever he wants and walks like in and out of their house.
Well, yeah.
Like a straight up creep.
He was nice in the beginning, and then when he came in their house, I thought he was going to be like, I know you're fucking your best friend's son. And he was like, no,
you just date me.
Yeah, I want to go. Yeah, we go on a date. But so like there's a part of me that goes, okay, if they are like, if they want to get with each other, I get them maybe sleeping with each other's son because like I want to be with them.
No, it's closer.
But they don't.
But the whole impetus is that the son is like, well, he fucked my mom, so I'm going to fuck you.
Yeah, they want to get even.
Which is also like another really weird, like,
but none of it's dealt with.
None of it is dealt with.
Because they're basically just then in love.
But
everybody's in love.
It makes them happier and healthier.
Yeah, I've never been happy
in my life.
This is the line. Yeah, it's their line is like, they're immediately like, we did it.
Yeah.
We figured it out.
The secret.
Robin Wright leaves her husband so that she can be in a relationship with her best friend's son. And nobody, like, it never tips into, which I guess is part of it and must be part of the Doris Lessing book that it's about. It never tips into, is that what it's called?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wish this was called The Grandmother.
Oh, my God. It never tips into, there is never any feelings of regret. There's never any problems to it. They are just living an idyllic, imagined life.
And they're always on the exact same page.
Yes.
It's like, when, like, we're not going to do it anymore. Okay, we're not. Yep. Now we are. Now we both are. Like,
the only
conflict.
I
just wish one of them was like, yes, and the other one was
Like, yeah, it would be. The only conflict is that time doesn't stop jumping.
Yes.
And that they have to keep up with that. And that they can't, I can't tell them all apart.
Oh, no.
I had to keep writing down who was on screen. I never remember who belonged to who.
Like,
thank God for one brunette.
Yeah.
Who was probably like a casting accident.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way. The blonde dropped out.
Yeah, because when Robin Wright has sex with, I'm looking down at my, with Ian, their haircuts are the same.
Yeah.
So, like, it's hard to keep track of who is who.
It's all, her accent also, it's like whenever other, like, nationalities do American accents and you can really tell, I can't tell when Americans are doing, but I could definitely tell that her accent was, like, pretty weak the entire time.
I feel like, though, if I was sitting, at a restaurant and you guys were sitting two tables over, like, I suspect that I would hear you throughout dinner being like, they think we're Lezos.
We literally done that.
There was a familiarity with that, which I feel like I could see you
We've
guys
been doing
do.
For months.
We're not Lezos.
But I just love that there are three beginnings and ends to those scenes, and they're all about being Lezos.
Yeah.
They should have just made it one scene.
And it's so interesting that
you got to fill 2.5 hours.
They are so much. They are blown away by the concept people could think they are lesbians.
But they're fucking each other's
but
sons.
Then they are nonplussed by the fact that they are
most
fucking each other's sons.
The
well, there's weird homophobia.
Every scene is homophobic.
And like, it happens with like Hannah tells Tom, she's like, I thought you were gay. And he's like, gay.
Yeah.
And,
like,
and then right when the father dies in the beginning, the two guys are just immediately shit talking. Like,
Of course he died.
He's a faggot. Faggots die.
Yeah. And then Naomi Watts is like, look at my hair when I was younger. I look like an angry boy. It's like, there's so much waste. Yes. Like, why does this movie hate gay people?
Yeah.
Like, what is, who made this?
So, let me tell you. I had heard so much about Ready Player One. It's right up my alley. I knew that Steven Spielberg was making a movie. I was very excited about that movie. And I said to myself, hey, this is a perfect opportunity for me to read the book before I see the movie. But then I was like, oh boy, I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish this all in that time. What if I download the book and listen to Ready Player One with an incredible performance by Will Wheaton? Literally, I know people say like, oh, it was read so well by like Jim Dale or whatever. Will Wheaton blows this book out of the water. I could not stop listening. I was sitting in my car often listening to him just bring the world of Ready Player One to life. I love Audible. I am finding myself more and more reading on a Kindle and then finishing up on an Audible in the car going back and forth. I love it. They have an amazing, unmatched selection of audiobooks, audio shows, news, comedy, and more. They have digital spoken audio information and entertainment, whether it's on your phone, through a car or a tablet, or on your Amazon Echo. Audible helps you listen to more books by letting you switch seamlessly between devices and picking up exactly where you left off, like I was saying. And as an Audible member, you get a monthly credit for any audiobook in the store, regardless of the price. And all unused credits roll over to the next month. And if you didn't finish your audiobook, you can exchange it. No questions asked. The books that you get are yours to keep. You can go back and re-listen at any time. You can cancel your membership whenever. If you like to read and you don't have time, or if you're a new parent, like this is how I got into Audible. You know, I'm like bouncing babies at night. I'm listening to books on tape. Audible, not on tape. In the cloud? Should I say it's in the cloud? Visit audible.com/bonkers, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, or text bonkers to 500-500 to start your 30-day free trial with a free audiobook of your choice. Although I recommend listening to Ready Player One before the movie comes out, you can listen to whatever you want. That's audible.com/bonkers, B-O-N-K-E-R-S, text bonkers to 500-500 to start your 30-day free trial. Everybody is so excited that Fat Tire Belgian White is advertising on this show because you all love it like we all love it. Who would have known that beer lovers and bad movie lovers go hand in hand so well together? Fat Tire Belgian White is their newest beer. It's a refreshing white ale that comes from the New Belgium Brewing Company, which is a 100% employee-owned brewery. That's like the Packers, you know, but for beer production. And the Fat Tire Belgian Style Ale is an American classic of craft beer. I didn't know it. I didn't know why it tasted so damn good. It's inspired by centuries of heritage and brewing heritage and all this kind of shit that you hear. But that's why it tastes so good, because they're actually not some people in a lab. These are people going like, how did they do it in the old days? We're going to do it and make it even better. And I like this Belgian White because it has a distinctive flavor to it. Okay, Fat Tire Belgian White is carefully crafted with the freshest Seville orange peel for just the right amount of sweetness. Did I know it was a Seville orange peel? Am I pronouncing Seville right? I don't know, but I can taste that sweetness. They're telling me the facts. I'm just telling you, I like the way it tastes, okay? It's delicious. I love this new Belgian White. So if you want to try a new beer or you love this beer, just go check it out. I don't know. Make sure you request it by name. Find Fat Tire Belgian White near you by using the beer finder link at newbelgium.com. That's New Belgium, B-E-L-G-I-U-M.com. Find that Belgian White. Tell me what you think. Take a picture of yourself watching a door. Well, I feel like it's all in defense for fucking. There's like, well, yeah, we're not weird. Yeah. There's other people out there. They have a thing.
Well, at least we're not gay.
It's just incest.
But like to me, you could put this on like a weird compound, and it's a movie about like cult leaders. Cult. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But it's a bourgeois beach movie.
Yeah. So it's, but it's basically like a Nancy Meyers movie with incest.
Yeah.
But the weirdest thing about
with
this movie,
point of view.
For a movie that time jumps a lot, why not just show? Because the attraction was so built, by the time we get there, the second scene of the movie, the attraction is at a fever pitch, really. Yeah. It's like, they're gods, we made them, let's fuck them. Like, it's like they're fucking
they set
the
it
next,
up strong.
They set up real strong. It's like, so that was building for years. Yeah. Like, and that's
even said when Tom goes over to Naomi Watts, it's to Lil's, and she's like aghast that her best friend.
She knew him as a baby. And then he says, he's like, oh, I guess they've been wanting to do this for a while then.
Yeah. Like, whoa.
This is my problem with every movie. movie is that when you only know four people, you're going to fuck all of them.
Sure.
Like, yeah. Every movie is like, you're going to have an arch enemy and a fuck buddy in your own house.
Yeah. Movie, so it's sitcom.
Everything.
It's like
you
shocking.
You only talk to five people in your
when
life.
When Tom has a birthday and there's hundreds of people in their house, who
are those people?
And they're all, it's his 21st birthday, and they're all adults.
They're all baby boomers.
There's not one 21-year-old in that movie.
How old is Tom when he gets married?
21?
22.
That's 20? Crazy.
But it also,
he just wants out.
But it's like,
I mean, that poor girl. I felt
Mary.
Yeah,
those I girls. Felt bad for the wives that these boys marry.
Yeah.
Also,
they get over it so.
They
fast,
do.
So.
But oh, yeah. I also, for me, I didn't. So much of what I feel like the movies. I feel like the movie is positing these relationships that seem to be like, oh, these are like true love.
Right.
These are true love for these people. And what I believed to be true was that Robin Wright and Naomi Watts were in love.
Yes.
Uh-huh. They had love. And that love almost cast a spell over the boys because there did not seem to be any real love between
either.
It's
just sexual.
Of them.
Yeah. It's, like, it's purely sexual. Yeah. But then it also seems like Tom really is like kind of hate fucking the girl
he
married.
Yeah, it's a complete reaction.
And it doesn't seem like he ever really grows close to her. It's all to spite.
Ian.
Yeah.
I think you mean Ian.
Oh, Ian. Sorry, yeah.
Ian.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Ian seems to be truly like jilted.
Yes.
Having this thing be called off.
Well, there's a scene where he aggro surfs and almost kills himself.
He
surfs
aggro
in a storm.
Surfs.
He surfs during a hurricane.
No aggro surfing, please. Oh my God.
Coming to Freeform, aggro surfers.
By the way, I would watch that.
By the way, they also pull, and that's where this movie is weird and it's very Lifetime-y. It's like he aggro surfs, gets injured, and then they're like, how is it? He goes, like, wish my leg is going to be. Like, he implies that he may be paralyzed or his leg is broken.
Yeah, it makes no
sense. But then great thing
scene,
about,
he's like, fine.
Yeah. Well, the great thing about time jumping is that then his leg can just be better.
Yeah.
Because they can do anything.
And
they
he's
want.
Now married but, to that blonde.
Yeah. And that he met her the day before he broke her leg, and then she helps him through physical therapy the next day.
Yeah. The and next
like,
day,
like,
she
she's
pops
just like,
into
I'm
the
with
hospital.
You now, and I'll heal you forever.
Like, a one night stand pops her head into the hospital, like, I'm here.
Oh, and then he's like asleep, calling out for Robin Wright in his dreams.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, you were calling out for her? You know? And he's like, she raised me. She's my second mother. And
That's fine.
Yeah, okay, good night. Yeah, it's so weird.
Don't you feel like the movie, like, could have been so good?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, if those 3 minutes of, like, we fucked our sons, what do we do, was the entire movie.
Yeah, paced out.
It could have been, like, been Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
There could have been a thriller element to it, which I kept thinking was going to happen. Like, what? But they clearly didn't want that.
Did you need it? Like, here's my other question, too. Do you need them both to fuck their sons, because wouldn't it have been interesting?
I need them to.
Well, like if one of them, but if one of them did, right? And then you kind of create this imbalance. Like that would have been an interesting story too. Like it's almost like it just seems so convenient. Everything was like, we're cool with it. We like it. We both agree that this is what we're going to do.
Well, they don't make a good case for anyone as an individual.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody has shared feelings.
Yeah.
You
who
know
are
I mean?
Any of them?
No, they're not even characters.
They're
no.
not characters.
They have no character traits.
And the moms are predators. Like, there's no, they ruined those. Robin Wright, it is your fault.
Yeah.
You did create. Like,
oh, yeah. It's all and none of it is natural. It's all premeditated. Yeah. They have conversation and be like, we're going to fuck our sons more. And then they do it. So
you
they
said
are
there's
fully
a, there, in the first makeout with Ian and Ruck, because Ian, Naomi Watts' son makes a pass at Robin Wright. That's the first move, right? Yeah. In the beginning of the very beginning of the movie. Yeah. He makes a pass at her and she
so
just
he wants like so in this again, which is weird. He wants it.
He's
into initiating,
her.
Yeah.
Not her, which also is a weird choice about him.
And
but
she is instantly on board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She never pauses.
She doesn't hesitate for a. There's no we shouldn't.
No.
There's no hang on.
Yeah.
There's just, yep.
Yeah.
Let's go for it.
Well, she swims all the way out to a barge to show off her back.
But like they have a more simmering thing because Naomi Watts is like dancing with, Tom.
Yeah. Which is an insane moment.
Yeah. Those are the moments that creep me out. Like I was like, ooh,
I felt
I don't
sick
like
to my
this.
Stomach.
Yeah.
Well, the beats where you're just, and again, it's this thing where like for the vast majority of the movie, you are just watching two couples flirting voraciously with each other in front of each other, except that it's two mothers and two sons.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, I would not feel weird about this movie if she met, like, if Naomi Watts or Robin Wright met these guys at a bar or whatever.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
And like, I see no weird age difference. They're like all attractive. Go for it. Fuck. But it's like, it is, I don't know. Yeah. It's just a, it's
like she said, you've known him since he was a baby.
Yeah.
It's weird.
And if that were the case for one of them, if this was a story about that kind of taboo transgression, great. But the fact that it happens for both of them and for both of the boys effortlessly and almost no repercussions happen is like a bizarre...
It's like erotica fan fiction.
It's a fever dream. Yeah. It is. It's weird.
It's bad like a, it's fanfic. A penthouse forum letter. Right. That's what this is.
You know what it is? It's like, this is like a movie... Like this, the other version of this movie was written and it was like that none of these undertones or whatever. It was like a big chill kind of movie, and then someone got online and wrote this. Oh, what if they actually fucked each other's sons? It's like, that's what I want to see.
If it was told from the point of view of the boys, this movie would be insane.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? If the boys were the main
character. Well, they would be like victims of sexual like incest assault.
Aren't we made to feel like that Robin Wright Penn, Roz and Ian, like that was a true love, and that Robin Wright Penn was the one who was most virtuous in the scenario?
I
think Robin Wright is meant to be the most irresponsible in the scenario.
Okay.
Because she gets rid of her husband and kind of ignores
Each step of the way, she's making choices that are compromising rather than,
you know, Naomi and Tom keep fucking and don't tell. They're the liars. Yes. They swore that they wouldn't keep fucking.
But then Naomi is at the bar getting drunk that night, and then like a kind of I don't remember him exactly, but I'm gonna say an attractive guy.
He was a little skeezy, but he was attractive.
Like he was at least a guy like her, like you know, like and he starts like kind of flirting with her, and she's flirting back, and then. The other son
I think it's her son.
It's her son.
Oh.
I didn't understand
explain
that
scene. Explain the meaning of that.
Oh, yes. No.
I didn't understand that scene at all.
Yeah, well, because...
So Tom is, he's working on a play in Sydney. And so...
Naturally.
So Ian and Roz and Lil go to, they go to a bar and they
and Lil's upset. Like, Lil's like, he's going to leave me. He's forgotten about me. It's very high school in this moment. Yeah. She's like upset.
Yeah. And so Lil goes again. All three of them drink. She's already pretty wasted, and then she's approached by a guy at a bar who's
like,
interested.
"Hey, let me buy those drinks." And he's not being like, he's not being overly aggressive. He's just kind of being like gently flirty.
Yeah.
Like, and then
Lil's son, Ian, cockblocks her.
Yeah,
and is
I didn't get why he did that.
And then she's like, "Oh, that's my son," and then is like embarrassed, like I'm don't think I'm too old because she's like, I had him when I was three, haha.
Uh-huh.
And it was like. But then she's like kind of flirting, but that whole scene.
But
is
then
like,
it
so
never
weird.
Comes back.
Like, never comes back.
And then he
nothing
drives.
Nothing means anything.
And then Ian, Naomi Watts' son drives Naomi Watts home. And anytime they would make the point that like they were going to their lovers and not their moms, I was so I was always confused at like is that his mom or his lover?
Right.
That was one of those scenes.
I kept thinking they must be as confused as I am, and maybe they will accidentally
fuck
their own son.
Oh, that would be great.
They might have switched characters. Like,
but by the way, like we're saying that they are ultimately one character. I don't know.
All four of them.
Yeah, the only thing I really know is that Tom likes to direct plays. Like that's
Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, sure.
So we've had a big discussion about this.
Real fight.
A real fight.
A fight.
I'm worried about you guys.
They said it's
our first fight.
They said it was Gershwin in the car.
Yeah.
And then at the theater, she's singing Gershwin. But then he says. The
Roxy.
Character's name is Roxy. So are they doing Chicago or are they doing a Gershwin?
It's just
show?
A play that doesn't exist, basically.
Okay.
Well, I thought it was like the way I thought of it was like a Gershwin, like a celebration, like kind of like
a night of Gershwin.
Mm-hmm. Like, like here's all of it. Like we're throwing it all there. Uh-huh.
So I'd like to imagine that he's directing Chicago, though. That is so funny. Like, what skill set does he have to direct a big musical?
Just the fact that theater is a theme in this movie is like, it doesn't go into the mix.
The writer of it is a theater writer.
Right.
Oh, really?
Of musicals.
He wrote Atonement, Dangerous Liaisons, and then
Dracula the Musical.
Well, no, wait. Did you get the sense that Ben Mendelsohn was like, I know you're fucking...
like I couldn't tell.
Because I feel like he was a little bit like, oh, I brought his girlfriend. Oh, I'm taking him to my, like, I felt like he was.
Yeah. It's like, confusing if he just thinks that she was like, I refused, like that Robin Penn was right, was like, I refuse to go with you.
Yeah.
I can't tell you why. I just love this home.
This house.
Like, yeah. And so let's get a divorce.
Let's just get divorced.
Because he won't travel on weekends. She's like, oh, will you come back on weekends? He's like, no. I'm teaching theater.
I need
theater.
A wife.
I'm teaching theater. I can't handle that. Which
is a full-time job.
If I'm not working, I'm thinking about work.
It was a thankless role for Ben Mendelsohn. I don't know, he's like doing his best with very little.
They all are.
I think I might become Ben Mendelsohn in that movie, though. But like my look might become that as
an older man. You think that's your evolution?
I think that's what I'm headed towards.
Well, you've got this mustache going pretty good.
What does that make me?
That makes Robin? You Roxy.
I'm Roxy. I got Roxy.
I liked Roxy. I was the wives. I was I found she her pretty act. Captivating.
Yeah. The other wife was a little hard.
Yeah.
I think she was supposed to be though. I think she was meant to be
a bad actor.
Not a bad actor. Like a not worth. Not as good as the mother.
Ben's mother.
I think he settled. Mm-hmm. Versus, I feel like I do.
But
feel
he
like
didn't
the
even
movie...
need to settle. Like that's the other thing. No. Like he wasn't like. It but wasn't like he's... he needed to, like, do this to keep up guys. Or like, I, like at the end of like Call Me by Your Name. Like spoiler alert. But like when Armie Hammer goes to marry that girl, it's like I get it. Like,
what?
I
got,
right. He has a life set up. He, right. This kid is 22. He does not like need to marry this girl.
They could move. They could move to any. They could move anywhere they wanted in the world.
What? And move away
they're so
from
rich.
Yeah,
they're so rich. They can do anything.
How are they so rich?
Yacht building.
They just always live there. They've always lived there.
Selling to these people. There.
I can't. I could. It's like the movie is a weird dream.
Yeah. Yes.
Like there's so little attention paid to grounding it or making us understand or world building. It really is this kind of effort. Like it like honestly, if this movie had been directed by Luca Guadagnino, it would be an amazingly much better movie because he's always grounding the emotionality of the people
who
in the
artistic
in a bigger splash or like a bigger splash is a movie that similarly has four people in a in an idyllic vacation place, swapping kind of partners, difficult kind of stuff between people. And it is so, like, I love that movie, and it is so easy to dial into that movie. This, a lot of the same setups, but, like, confounding.
But there's no depth in this movie. It's just lines.
I feel like you can hear, like, the director, like, all the conversations about it just being so talky in a way that it's just being like, I think it'd be quite interesting if, at the end of the day, like, you want to root for the love. You know what I mean? Yeah. They are in love on some level, and it's like, and you can like rally actors to get behind that, and then just it's such a dumb idea.
I love when the brunette find out, and she's like, "Don't you get it? They're in love with them and us." It's like that's what they're not in love with you.
Yeah, they're not.
Yeah.
This is the final blow up. This is a good little scene here.
You made us stop when we didn't have to.
Sorry.
All the time, Tom, who was getting married. For fuck's sake, and should have stopped. They were just stringing you along. They were just pretending and having sex whenever they felt like it and laughing at us behind our backs.
Sex.
And you're saying you had no idea what was going on.
Ian, we're not alone.
What the fuck difference does it make?
Ian, what are you talking about?
I just walked across the street and found your husband rolling around on the floor with my mother.
There you go.
I just walked across. Fucking Ian, me. As far as I'm concerned. This is all your fault.
How could it be her fault? You see, Hannah, I love us as well.
There you go.
I mean, to introduce the word husbands into this mix is even crazier.
Yeah.
I just came in to find your husband fucking your mother. My mother. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. It's just like weird, just all terminology for sons, mothers, husbands.
And then the scene before was their grandmothers with the little girls. Like, you're just
This movie starts with them as little girls and they end up as grandmothers.
Naomi Watts is a grandmother.
Charles, are you okay? Did you need to snort on Mike more?
If there's a snort button.
By the way, what is it? The Naomi Watts is only 15 years older than her Yeah, that's it.
That's Hollywood.
I do kind of like in that scene when she says, "We're not alone." I kind of like that moment. Yeah. She's like, "We're not alone."
Well, again, like what is so great about that scene is there's some emotion, like there's some raising of like
stakes.
That's why I like Saul. Like Saul just was something. Like, Saul just gave me another person to get like to have.
Well,
something.
It's also this thing that is like the catharsis. I guess we've all been waiting for is to have anybody find out. It's been 2 hours of nobody finding
it's
out.
It's just in a bubble.
And what are the stakes of a movie where years go by, nobody finds out?
And
you know?
Then the moment they find out, the girls are like, "We're leaving forever. Never talk to us." And then the boys are like, "I understand. That's okay."
Yeah. And like, they're just so fine with like never seeing their granddaughters.
They're kids.
Like,
they're just sort of like, "Bye bye."
Yeah. It's like, no. And that's then they end. And
then because they as long as I've got my son's sweet dick, I don't need my grandchildren.
Don't need any truth.
We'll end up on that floating barge all together,
smoking
cigarettes. What do you think it means? Like, there's something so mythological about the movie. It feels like fable.
That's what I think. It's like, I think it's going for that. I think like because it is so small, it's like I don't know what the lesson is, but I think they're going for that idea that this is not of this reality.
A timeless tale.
But they don't show that anymore.
Well, see, what I started to think was, when we got to the granddaughters, when they bring us 2 girls at the end of the movie who are essentially the same ages as the 2 girls who began the movie, I was like, are we saying that this is cyclical? That this something in here has started a cycle that will be broken or unbroken? Or what are we going to... In my mind, I was like, I bet the next time jump, these little girls are going to be teenagers and there's going to be...
That,
Maybe that'll be interesting. I don't know.
You were waiting for another time jump.
This movie
at the end of the credits there's another time
jump. I did not feel safe watching this movie because of the time jumps. I was like, at any moment years could go by and they're not doing anything to make anybody the boys are the boys age and once the boys are hunks, nobody seems to age. They're not aging anybody in any way,
not even a mustache. Like,
I mean, probably 10 years of life happened to those boys
at least.
From 18 to like having kids. 5, 6, 7 year olds? I don't know how old those kids are. How do you tell how old a kid is by looking at them? I don't know.
It's impossible.
Walk and talk, so there's what? They're 15?
I think they're really off on that.
I think their daughters
they
are
were
like 23 years old.
Should not be around kids.
The ladies were 98.
You know what? They're told that
by the end, they were, one was 100, one was 98.
But no, you said 45 years?
Basically, yeah.
It has to be.
It's a 45 year
span. Because they start as... 5-year-old Amanda Seyfried. They're both Amanda Seyfried. Yep.
Who are in love. 2 Amanda Seyfrieds.
Mamma mia.
In love. But then, I love the transition from them as kids to then they're staring at each other dead in the eye in the front of a funeral.
Yes.
They're just staring at each other like
that's the best part of the whole movie.
Unfazed by her husband.
The first 2 minutes
and
is
didn't
the best
they suggest
part.
That he had that he like cheated on her?
Yeah.
Like, he was a terrible man.
He was.
They keep insinuating that Naomi Watts' dead husband was the worst man in the world.
Yes.
To what end?
Because like, they want to keep being like, these women are good people.
Yeah.
Like, they should
deserve
be fucking.
But there's
yeah.
I think
between all the girlfriends knocking on the doors and all the car wrecks and bottles of whiskey.
Like, who cares?
I feel like the movie is trying to tell us like they deserve this.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, let them have it.
Come on.
These girls need a break.
These poor, gorgeous, rich women
living
on a beach. They need irresponsible young cock.
They each had a scene where they talked about them aging. Naomi Watts was her looking in the mirror.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And then with Robin Wright Penn, it was with Ian as he was tracing her perfect body. And that's the thing.
That
you guys, your body, like,
they're
were
perfect.
Always gorgeous.
I would love it if this movie starred Margot Martindale and Anne Dowd.
Yes.
But by the way, that's a more, like,
I would love that. And the same 2 boys.
And the same boys.
like, look, we made a Young Gods.
But like, did we do that? Did we do that?
I think we did, Patricia.
We did
like, oh, man. Because I would even say there's something interesting in this movie if they felt like they couldn't be lesbians with each other, and then that's what they'd be like. Give me one reason.
There.
Like, just give me, like,
well, that was
that's
to
in
me.
Yeah,
that's
yes.
Not real
but
thing.
It's that's the most real love story to me is between the 2 women, and, clearly.
Yeah. But they're the soulmates.
But it takes place in 2013. So it's like,
sorry,
so in that time, it's like, You're stretching to be like, this is taboo now.
Especially when you don't know anyone else. Like, it really could matter less.
You live in a secluded house, you can be lesbian.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
You don't see anyone else.
Well, this is the conversation. I know we talked that there's like three conversations at the top where they talk about, are they gay or are they not gay? This
Lezos.
Lezos. Are we? I don't think so. Not as far as I remember.
But there was that one kiss.
We're just best friends. That's right. I do remember that time. Well, it was... Remember that kiss?
Oh, my God.
Well, we had to practice on someone.
Right.
Does it make us...
Lezos?
Bloody men.
Bloody men.
What?
By the way, listening to that clip, I mean, that makes the movie sound like even worse. I mean, like that isolated with no fish. Yeah. What is this?
Which makes me best friend. We're just best friends, right? Aren't we?
Ah, bloody men.
Oh,
that basically is like a conversation about how the fact that they are undeniably lesbians. And then they're like, oh, patriarchy.
Yeah.
But they're also like, are we? I don't know. Are we? Yeah. It's so...
It's almost as if it's never occurred to them, and they are middle-aged women whose intimate relationship is ruining their marriage.
Yeah. Or Robin Wright's stop at nothing to explore it in the wrong way.
But they keep never having explored it.
Yeah.
Because later in the movie, the... What's the guy's name?
Ben Mendelsohn? Husband?
The guy who wants to date.
Saul.
He's like, I know what's going on. You're Lezos.
Yeah.
And then
she realizes late, too.
And then she's like, oh my God.
And she's like she's so never slow. You've always been the slow friend.
They're so pleased by it.
Yeah. They think it's the funniest thing in the world.
This clip is just one of a thousand scenes where they remember a moment and then laugh their asses off.
Yeah.
All they do
as if
is
they've
remember
had the fucking best life.
Well,
they had a really nice life.
And then it stopped.
Now it's
all
just
memories.
About fucking their kids. But before that, it
just,
was.
It is just not wall-to-wall sun fucking.
But in the first scene of like when the boys are hunks, I was like in the other room watching and I was texting Charles. I was like, wait, do they never see each other? Because they're literally looking at a photo album.
Yeah.
And like drinking wine. I'm like, oh, so they're on vacation.
That's
and they're
what I thought,
reminiscing.
Like a summer house.
I'm like, no, they see each other every day.
That's what I thought. And I thought for the first half of the movie that this is where Robin Wright and her family live and Naomi Watts is just visiting for break or whatever.
So they've never
seen each other for a day.
They live next door to each other.
Yeah.
This movie, I don't even understand what this is.
Is Tom like getting into her when he like takes the book and then like sits on the thing?
No, that's Ian.
Oh, it's Ian, sorry.
That's Ian, and I think it's meant to be that he's looking at pictures of his dead dad.
I thought so, but it also...
Oh, right. And that's why she goes over and she's like, are you okay?
Yeah.
But
that's
does she ask him? I was like, he died 10 years ago. You ask him every day if he's okay.
Yeah, no, I think it's just because the photo album was open to pictures of the dead.
Well, that's what I thought, but then I also thought he was like kind of checking her out, too.
Yeah. Oh, maybe.
But I think...
But then that first conversation...
The first conversation where they're talking about boobs,
and I was like...
I know, that part's...
You remember, I didn't have boobs, but she told me, stuff these in there. They'll be soon. They'll be right along soon or whatever. Yeah. I was like,
And then she's like, can we change topic? He's like, I don't think we're going to change topic. I think we're going to talk about your boobs for all the lunch. And they're like, ah!
And the rest of the movie.
And the rest of time when it's you.
It's like we've been trapped in like... Like, we came into a dinner party, like, four white wines in, and you're like, and you're trying to, like, keep up, like, I don't want to be here, like, I shouldn't have
gone. They're 18 at that point. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Such already irresponsible mothers just letting their son smoke cigarettes and drink all day.
Well, just being like, don't pursue anything.
Oh, but wait, Jordan, no, wait, though. This is 2013, where people just did that kind of stuff.
That was
this is the past.
I love that era.
This is.
That era of Australian culture.
That's when we didn't know.
Obama. But then, even when
thanks a lot, Obama,
the kid is throwing up, sick, drunk in the bathroom, and she's just like, "Get him to bed." Like, as a mother, you should be absolutely worried.
That feels Australian to me.
The boys had more chemistry with each other.
Yeah, I agree.
I felt the boys had more. I believed their intimate relationship.
They had sexual chemistry.
They had more so.
That's what I thought.
I also thought that might happen.
I wanted that.
I know.
Because I was like, in my way, that I was like, this is a movie that is about how these women are, for some reason, unable to come to grips with their feelings for each other, and can only demonstrate it with their sons, but that the sons are going to realize they're going to be able to do with each other what the mothers could never, which is be in love.
This movie would have gone up one notch for me if, at the last scene when they get on that floating dock, if the two boys are making out and the two moms are making out.
Yeah.
We reached something.
Like,
this just went full E2 Mama time.
Yeah, I agree. At least just we got somewhere.
Yeah, at least something happened. Now go live your lives. Yeah. Like, go.
I mean, the movie starts where 3 minutes into the movie start. Like, it ends right where it started. And not in a profound way.
It's
at
like
all.
The first draft made sense, and like the other son and mom fucked at the end of the movie, and it was all leading up to like the other revenge fuck. But instead, they got a note that was like, "We need like everything to happen within 30 minutes.
This is, and also we got a grant from the Sydney Theater.
This was originally developed as a half hour TV show. And they were like, just pad it,
Squarespace has been a sponsor on the show for a very long time. Why? Because they're high quality and they know that you are high quality listeners. They respect smart people. Squarespace, let me just talk to you about them as a company, okay? Do they stand up for what they believe in? Yes. Do they get behind interesting people like Keanu Reeves not Kurt Russell, but it was Jeff Bridges. Yeah, and they make fun commercials. They're hip. They're cool. And why are they hip and cool? Because they know what websites are about. They're about simplicity. They're about beautiful designs. They're about templates that are easy to update without patching or installing anything ever. It's about creating a look that stays classic and doesn't just phase out the minute you build it, okay? You customize everything. It's optimized for mobile, so if you look at it on a phone or a laptop, it always looks good. Plus, their analytics will help you grow in real time. And here's the kicker. With all of that, they're already doing so much. They also have 24/7 customer support that will help you, guide you, and they actually know what they're talking about. It's not one person reading a book. They can actually get in there and figure it out with you. Destiny is calling, and it says you need a new website. Make it with Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS, that's BONKERS, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com, offer code BONKERS. Obviously, we have opinions about this movie. There are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
Ooh.
Here we go.
The grateful Sheer is here, and the message is clear that a second opinion ain't nothing to fear. So open up your mind and open up your ears, cause to somebody, Tommy Wiseau is Shakespeare. Second opinion. Maybe I was wrong. Second opinion. Nah, it was shit all along. Second opinion. Maybe I was wrong. It was shit.
All right, that was Hillary Gay.
Love that.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That was a really good one.
Have we played that one before?
No, brand new.
We have a lot.
Yeah.
By the way, exceptional
work. Someone made that for you for free?
Wow.
Marsha Gay Harden.
By the way, Marsha Gay Harden is one of my favorite
amazing.
British trip hop acts.
So,
you never know.
For those of you who don't know, these are 5-star reviews that were pulled from Amazon of this film. There are 265 reviews for the film. 40% of them are 5-star reviews.
Wow.
A lot of reviews are very defensive. And
what did this get on Rotten Tomatoes? Like, how was
like
this?
A like 30.
Okay. I was wondering.
Yeah, 32%.
Which was 100.
So I'll just kind of read. Well, here we go. This is from This Is How I Show You My Love. That's the name of the person who wrote it. Mm-hmm. And it goes,
sounds like a mom.
Absolutely love this movie. The gorgeous Australian ocean backdrop is calming and soothing.
Yeah.
Every time I watch a door, I feel relaxed.
Every time.
just from the scenery.
So many hours of his life.
The second best thing about this movie is the lack of unnecessary drama.
It's all necessary.
It's so, there's the lack of unnecessary drama. It is a drama-free movie. Yeah.
It flows in a natural way, and just when you think it's going to be a big upset, the plot continues to be mellow and amazing.
That could either be the worst review of the world.
This is like a cup of tea for this person. Finally, the chemistry between Robin Wright and Naomi Watts is very sweet and feels genuine. My favorite scene is when they both start laughing. It feels very
which is every scene.
Every single scene.
And then cut to the boys running down the beach with those shoes playing. It's pure joy. 5 stars.
Joy.
She found joy and joy. Sweetness out of this movie.
This is someone who had to deal with this situation in real life.
This one written in 2016.
I would love it if like the first relationship started and then like the Tom came to Naomi Watts and she made a move and he was like, not interested. One of it was just like rejection.
Yeah, you're old.
You're my mom's best friend. What are you talking about?
What are you doing, weirdo?
That doesn't happen.
I'm a fucking human being.
I would love that. This one is titled Happy Ending for Two of the Moms.
Wait a minute. Well,
I guess there are two other moms.
He's right.
By the end.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, just an interesting side note that in the credits, the two other moms were miscredited. Sophie Lowe plays Hannah, Jessica Tobey plays Mary, but they're mistaken as each other's roles in the end credits.
How'd you find that out?
That was
of all the roles to get confused about.
I know.
They're even having the person making the credits is like, who is that?
Which was we? It doesn't matter.
So this is OMG. My first thought was a lot of IVF mothers must like this movie.
Oh my God.
Whoa. 5 stars.
Excuse me.
What does that mean? Yeah, what does that mean?
Why does it? Why IVF?
Because it's not. Yours, not your own.
I think,
but it is a lot of times. It's just being helped along the way.
Yeah. That's still an IVF.
Still illegal. Weird. It's illegal.
This is the kind of fan that the movie attracts.
That should put this person on a watch list.
Oh my gosh, that
60% 5 stars, you say, or 40% 5 stars?
40% 5 stars.
That is.
I think some people just want to see like Travel Channel. Some people just want to see like a gorgeous beach.
Again. What did that teacher say to you one time?
A teacher at NYU was like, "Eye candy. That's the most important thing in an art film. Eye candy."
Oh. God.
Oh.
I defend her, actually.
All right. So this is from Penelope Kaler. Penelope Kaler wrote, "Makes porn movies look like child's play. Powerful, thought-provoking. 5 stars.
Wait, what is... Hold on.
Child's play?
And
the title is Truly an Adult Movie.
Oh yeah, she wishes porn was meaningful.
Yeah, okay.
Which I get. Like this movie was like horny in a way that I was like, ooh, I get that this has like the kind of erotic kind of juice that
did you
is.
Guys,
like,
were you guys turned on at all watching it?
I thought it was like,
some of the sex scenes were super.
I actually thought they were well shot sex scenes.
Oh yeah, like, the whole movie is weirdly well shot.
Oh. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
If you took the context out, the movie is almost better.
And by the way, if you had just added more stakes throughout, it could have been a good movie.
Because they're not bad in it. Robin Wright.
Not at all.
I actually think the boys are not bad either.
I will say I did not mind this movie.
Yeah.
I just kept being like, huh, now why do this? Why not do that?
It just felt like such a missed opportunity.
Yes.
It is. It does make you horny though, because I feel like anything that's just like, all right, everybody ready to get horny? Just makes you horny.
Yeah.
It's like this is a horny movie. You're like ready to be horny.
It never backs off.
No.
Once it's like, oh, we're all horny, I feel like every bit of direction was like hornier.
Yeah.
And the sex
hornier,
scenes.
Now
the sex
laugh.
Scenes.
Yeah. Well, you guys, it's a French director. I don't know if that adds any sort of like.
It's
well,
Juliette Binoche.
It's Anne Fontaine. It's her first English film. But I also feel like the sex scenes weren't like shot, like they felt like they were like, we're having sex. Yeah. It wasn't like so, like, it was, I mean, I don't know.
None of that sex was safe.
No, everybody's. He was coming in her pussy every turn.
Everybody's raw dogging everybody in this movie.
Oh my God. How many abortions do you think?
Like so many abortions.
They don't need condoms there because the beach water cleans it all out.
And are we meant to believe that those two women have gone through menopause and that's why they're not worried?
I mean, they're grandmothers at the end.
They are grandmothers.
This is by a gentleman named Thomas Williamson. And you'll just see he really likes this movie. The title is Great Australian Movie with a Twist. I bought the Blu-ray version of this film a few weeks ago on Amazon. I love this movie. It is a movie that I can watch many, many times. On my new 4K TV, the Blu-ray makes the ocean look real. The movie has a lot of skin in it. Plus, it's very well written, very well directed, and very well acted. It has a plot that you will not expect. I mean, after the four main characters are all very hot. Sex is a big part of the film. Yeah. Taboo sex, mainly. It's filmed very well. I rented this film on Netflix before I bought it. Then I loved it, and I bought it on Amazon. Oh, it is best that you watch this film and be surprised by it rather than me telling you the plot. I love this movie. I am glad I bought it. Five stars.
Wow. I love him. I want to be. I want to watch movies.
I was having sex, but then I started having taboo sex. Life changer.
I wanted him to start reviewing his 4K TV.
Yeah, I know.
Me too.
And this is by Margana. Our last one here goes. My new guilty pleasure is this movie. I found it on Netflix and I kept it in my watch list for a while. One Saturday night, I decided to watch it and it swept me away. I watched it again on Sunday. Watch it at work on my computer. I watch clips of it on my phone when I'm in the parking lot. There is so much beauty in this movie. You must watch it without any right or wrong judgment. The acting, along with the gorgeous scenery, is really spectacular. It reminded me of a movie I saw decades ago called Summer Lovers with a young Daryl Hannah. Really, if you can have a once-in-a-lifetime love affair that brings such pure happiness, wouldn't you?
No.
Wouldn't it be worth it?
Five stars. She's so lonely.
No.
She watches it on her phone in her car.
Hey, Kathy, can I talk to you for a second? This is just impromptu job review. You cannot watch that movie.
Then I quit. I will watch this movie.
Are you watching movies at work about mothers who fuck their sons?
Yeah, it's on full volume. I like that she said. We all saw you in your car as well.
You must not watch this movie with any right or wrong judgment. With any right judgment.
Yeah, no.
Any Robin Wright judgments. Anyway, guys. That's it for the show. Thanks, everybody, for coming. I'm just
Wow. Jarring.
A very abrupt
That's
ending.
A time jump.
I won't even talk about budget, but I will say, this is a question. How much money do you think this movie cost?
$5 million.
Okay.
$19 million.
Okay. I think, I'd say around there.
Really? I'll go 10.
I was thinking in the $5 million range. It was $16 million.
Because they needed to get those actresses. That's
And they just found funding. Like other countries just keep piling on governments until they like have a real movie.
For a movie that really doesn't leave a location,
that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, that was all built. The whole
island. It was built from the whole town.
They built New South Wales. Yeah.
They do that at Universal Studios.
And what the Jaws.
What
pool.
We don't know is they, in order for like to make the actors feel good, they actually built yachts. they built yachts to.
You never saw them.
Well, Naomi Watts built a yacht to get into character.
A Watts yacht.
Roxy was built.
This was fascinating. Wow. Thank you guys for bringing us to our attention.
Thank you for watching it.
It was better than I imagined in so many ways. Let's just go down the line and what do we want to plug? Cool Up, what do you want to tell people about?
I want to plug News to Come for Origin Story. My documentary, which your listeners and you guys helped raise money for.
Yes, 100%.
We're going to be in a festival, but I can't tell
I
you yet.
I heard the festival, and I'm going to say it's very exciting
I'm
news.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's really cool. The movie is the movie is great. You did such a fantastic job with that movie.
Thank you.
Search.
Oh, party. Can I follow up one question? Where can people Charles, shut up.
I hate saying search party and leaving that hanging. That's the most embarrassing.
Search party.
Just want to bring it back to search
cool
party.
Cool. Where can people find out when will this be announced? Where can people find out when it is announced?
Well, if you gave money, you're going to get an email from
Got it. And then also originstorydoc.com.
Oh, great. Thank you. Charles, I'm so sorry. Search party.
Search party. That's
beloved series search party.
Yeah,
TBS.
One and two. 2, seasons 1 and 2 are out now.
It's such a great show, and I'm so, like, you are doing a third season, right? Or is that official?
I can't talk about it. When does this come out? If it comes out, it's going to be great.
All right, great.
Say that.
When does this show come out?
I don't know, a couple weeks maybe.
2 years from now.
Yeah. But I'm very excited. The show is so great. It's one of the few shows that I have to, like, wait until I have a bunch of them because I can't. One episode is not
can't
fulfilling.
Be hanging
because I'm like it's too much. So nice. It really gives me anxiety. I'm like I have to see more.
Where do people find it on iTunes or
iTunes,
is it?
iTunes. I think it's on Amazon Prime.
Okay,
and
great.
The TBS app, which TBS would love which to everybody has. Yes.
Download that TBS app.
And that's what most of us are watching TV through that TBS app. That show is fantastic.
Thanks.
Everybody should go and buy it on iTunes.
Thanks
and watch it. And pass it around.
And then we made our short Men Don't Whisper, which went to Sundance and South by Southwest, and it's on Vimeo. You can say that part.
Yeah, it was a Vimeo staff pick premiere.
Nice.
Came out yesterday. And
we're turning it into a feature.
We're going to make a feature out of it.
Yeah. Oh, nice!
And if you haven't, like I mentioned at the top of the show too, a lot of your short films are all online right now.
Yeah, they're all online,
and they're great.
Have you seen them?
I did. I actually did. I saw
Call Your Father.
Call Your Father. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was really great.
Thanks.
That's his adore.
That's my adore. Basically,
it's really funny.
There is actually our short Men Don't Whisper has a very adore moment when the girls are being told like that they're like
there was like a word for word scene in our movie that is shot exactly
purposefully.
Like, no.
Our short is us as boyfriends at a sales conference, and we dare each other to fuck girls to prove our masculinity to each other, and it feels very adore.
Oh my gosh!
It's an homage.
It is an homage.
Yeah, but I am turning Call Your Father into a show that will be out probably later this year.
Oh, wow.
But I can't say the network yet.
Got it.
So just follow me and then you can find
me. You got it.
Follow you where?
Yeah.
At JT
in Silver Lake. Wait, follow me at G. Charles Rogers.
Oh, JT Firstman. JT Firstman.
Do you want to plug where people can play?
G. Charles Rogers.
Oh, at Kula.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, you got your own name.
Well, you know what I... It's an albatross on my back.
Jason.
I can't imagine there weren't a ton more Cool Up Vili Socks on Twitter.
On Instagram, I got I am Cool Up because someone took Cool Up.
Oh, really?
Do they want to sell it to you?
I didn't try.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I was in South by Southwest last week, and we were in this Twitter building, and one of the actresses in my movie, basically someone did that. Like, they sat on her name, and she's like, yeah, I really just want my name. And the Twitter people are like, oh, okay. And it's like they basically just kicked it, like kicked somebody right off their thing because they were just sitting on it.
Wow. Is it that woman?
Who?
That woman? That writer?
Who?
Remember? Do you know
woman.
What I'm talking about?
No.
That woman.
Is it that woman?
Having a seizure.
Starly's friend that she did, that someone stole her her website name, and then she it was so important to her that she paid them like $10,000 to get it back.
It was so crazy. I sat on somebody bought June's website, and I like sat on it and did this like weird online auction. So like at like 12:01 when they didn't renew the thing, I could go in and buy it immediately.
Oh,
so
excited.
Yeah, it was like a very it was
Jesus.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Somebody bought Scott Aukerman.com, and then when you go on it, she's like, hey Scott, hire me and this won't happen. Do websites, and I was like, wow, bold.
Yeah.
Bold.
I'm your
and
best friend.
Not gonna do it.
And that's how you and Scott met, right?
That's right. Hi, Scott. HTML.
Jason.
I got nothing.
All right, great. I'll just plug that the Disaster Artist, if you did not see it in theaters with Jason, June, and I, it's all in the home video now. You can go check it out. And there's some fun stuff, like there's some extra fun stuff there. That's the end of the show, but it continues, that's right, on our mini episodes. Our mini episodes is where you get to voice your own opinions about these movies. You can write in on our message boards at earwolf.com or give me a call at 619-PAULASK. That's 619-PAULASK. Paul, ask me anything about this movie, bring up something about your life, your love. I will answer anything and everything. Just give me a call at 619-PAULASK. Also, if you like the show and you want to represent it out in public, you want to get some merch, a hoodie, a t-shirt, a laptop case, you can do it. Just go to tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM. We have a bunch of great stuff there. There's always sales. I've gotten a ton of stickers there, from Miami Connection to Where's Rivka to Put Her in a Bra to a Jacob's Ladder scenario. We got all your specific niche How Did This Get Made references covered. A big thank you to everyone who makes this show happen. We could not do this show without Avril Halley pulling all of our amazing clips and watching these movies with us. July Diaz listening through and making sure this show sounds the best it can possibly be. Of course, our good friend, Nate Kiley, who does all of our research. Kelly Alto, who keeps this whole show together. All of the engineers at Earwolf. They are the best. Everybody at Earwolf. And, of course, Kevin Bartlett, who is a part of the team here as well. We have the best team in the biz. Give him a lot of love. Follow Earwolf on Twitter. And follow us on Twitter, too, and on Facebook. And you can follow me on Instagram. Sign up for our mailing list, which is at the top of our Twitter page and the top of our Facebook page. It's easy to find. You know how to find stuff online. And if you want to listen to some of our back episodes, I know there's only 50 free episodes right now. You can sign up for Stitcher Premium. That's right, Stitcher Premium. We have everything ad-free, even this episode you're listening to right now. So if you want to get rid of the ads, sign up for Stitcher Premium, and you can listen to a whole world of great stuff, comedy albums, exclusive podcasts, you name it, it's there. Even an exclusive episode of this show that you've never even heard. That's right. Holy shit. So with all that, I'll just say one more thing. Rate and review us. If you like us, rate and review us. It helps us on iTunes, and then we can like brag about it to our friends. It's a thing. It's an ego thing, really. We will see you next week for a mini episode where we will be telling you the next movie we're watching. So until next week, bye for now.
My memory is a mess. More and more stuff's coming back. Came here because I was running.
Okay.
Running from myself.
Okay, please.
But I'm not gonna run again.
No. No, 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 no! I'm one of the good guys.
Killing is a sin, isn't it? So I'm a sinner. All right.
Marvel and Stitcher present Wolverine: The Long Night. Out now, only on Stitcher Premium. For 1 month free, go to WolverinePodcast.com and use promo code MARVEL.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit Earwolf.com.
This February, true legends from the worlds of comedy and music will unite to form the Supergroup. I'm Tawny Newsom. On every episode, me and my co-host, Alex Kleiner, will invite our talented friends to write and record an original song with us over the course of a week.
You'll hear every step of the process, from writing and rewriting to recording and mixing. Songs with Open Mike Eagle, Paul F. Tompkins, Ted Leo, Woo! Sashir Zameda, Janet Woo! Varney, and more.
The Supergroup. Join the band February 6th on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.